like Jesus. When we're following Jesus, we're following a person. Sometimes we get lost if following an institution or organization or a church body made up of people. But at the end of the day, Jesus is inviting individuals to follow him. And what does that look like in our own personal life? For some of us, I know it's probably a lot of us, you would call yourself a Christ follower. You follow Christ, and you want to go deeper. And that's where we're encouraging. That's our vision here at New Community Church, is that we grow together towards maturity in Christ, and we do that daily. And for others, you're here and you're exploring more about Jesus. We're really, really glad that you're here. I hope this will be encouragement to learn maybe a little bit more, to take a step to knowing Jesus in a personal way beyond just maybe hearing about him. So as we're following Jesus, Jesus, when he was on the planet 2,000 years or so, he invited people to follow him. And it's amazing that he would just go up and invite people in their place of work or with their family and just say, follow me. And they literally believed everything and just followed Jesus. Now, when you think about that, that's a great level of sacrifice. Just leave your family, or leave your job, or leave your job with your family, or leave your profession, or whatever you're doing, and follow. But on the other hand, those who started following Jesus, there's something about Jesus that must be really, really great, right, to give up everything. Amen? Sometimes we can look so much on the sacrifice, it's kind of like, I don't really know. But if you look at Jesus, wow, Jesus must be of infinite beauty and worth to give up everything to follow him. Because that just seems really silly. Like if someone came to you, there's a lot of college students here, someone came to you at Clarkson or student Cossin or Sukian or SLU, just like, hey, you're doing your career doing this, and follow me and give up everything and go. I mean, that's going to be an awkward phone call with your parents later, right? Hey, mom and dad, they dropped me to college, but I just dropped it all and following someone. That's pretty hardcore. And we see people in the Bible who did that. And so we want to look like, what does it look like to follow Jesus? What does it look like specifically to be what we're going to look at this phrase of living sacrifice? This idea of taking up our cross daily and following Jesus. What is that? What does that really look like? And so we'll be looking at a chapter in Luke. So we're going to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. Luke chapter 9, verses 23-27. Feel free, if you like to read along, there should be Bibles in front of you. If you're here and you don't have a Bible, and you're like, I would like a paper copy, old school version, you can take one home as a gift. Or if you know people that need one, feel free to take one. These are meant to be gifts, you can take one. Also, feel free, if you have a mobile device, you want to have a Bible app, feel free to turn there. But Luke 9, verse 23-27, and I'll also have the verses up here on the screen. This is last week's PowerPoint, actually. Same front, though.
Last week's.
AB, I think we might be using last week's PowerPoint in Philippians. I'm going to read out of Luke 9, though, 23 to 27. So this is Jesus, and he's talking, and right before this, he's asking his followers, his disciples, the students that are following him very closely and literally doing life with him. It wasn't just like a once-a-week check-in. Who do you say I am? And they're like, some say you're a great prophet Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, other ones say the prophet, and then Peter says, one of the disciples, apostles, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the anointed one. And so they had this realization of who Christ is. And then Jesus explains how, you know, things are going to be difficult for him personally, because his mission is to come and rescue everyone. This is it. You guys rock back here. Thanks, AV team. This is the verse right here. So verse 23. Here we go. This is Jesus. And he said to all, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death and the death until they see the kingdom of God. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you invited the 12 disciples, apostles to follow you and others. God, thank you that you're still inviting us to follow you. God, would you speak to us through your word? God, may we look more and more like Jesus. God, that's our goal and our vision, to be more like you. God, just lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at this one verse right here. It's verse 23. It says, anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. And it says, take up his cross daily and follow me. Now this is before Jesus has died. So he's telling his disciples, he's telling his close followers, people he's been doing life with. Anyone wants to follow me, this is like the prereq. This is like what's required of you to be able to follow me. And it's interesting because when we think of a cross, often like nowadays, in like 2019, we'll see crosses in different places, right? Like, there's a cross right over here. I know some of you have crosses around your neck, or maybe you have a cross at your home. And I think a lot of us will do that in a way of remembering the great sacrifice that Jesus has made for us on the cross. But if you think about what an actual cross is, it was a form of execution. Like, if Jesus came right now, 2019, and instead of coming 2,000 years ago, like, instead of having a cross, it would probably be like an electric chair or like a syringe. Like, it's a form of death. And it's a form of being killed in a very painful way. And nowadays, 2019, we can kind of use that as something to remember, but to realize that taking up a cross wasn't like you know, just wearing it around your neck, you know what I mean? Or putting it up on a nice wall or something like that. It's literally an invitation to die, sacrificially. And Jesus was going to live this out. So take up your cross daily. Literally be living sacrifices. Because if you're taking your cross daily, it means you're never really dead, right? This is something you're doing. A dead person cannot take up their cross the next day. But he's saying, if you want to follow after me, you got to make living a life of sacrifice a daily model. I really wish that word daily was not in there. Are you with me, right? Take up my cross occasionally. When it's convenient. Maybe when there's not a lot going on in my life, you know. And then I'll be that living sacrifice. Let's be that kind of person. I remember a little while ago, I was talking with my wife, Crystal. We haven't met her yet. She's absolutely amazing. Super lover. We were talking, and as a husband and a dad of three awesome kids, one of the things we want to do for Crystal and I is we really want to point the kids to Jesus and scripture reading and specifically praise and worship. And to be honest, I was like very infrequent with doing that. Crystal had been a lot more frequent with that. But Crystal was encouraging. He's like, hey, just to do this together, you know, not like a call out, but a call up. Like, it'd be awesome to see you serving in this place. Also seeing that, you know, in Ephesians 5, it talks about, you know, husbands loving their wives like Christ loved the church and sacrifice and leading our family, leading our home. And she, in a loving way, was calling me to rise up. Because I got in this pattern, kind of like, if it's convenient, then maybe, you know, I'll do a Bible study with my kids. You know, if it's convenient or comfortable, you know, I'll spend. But life gets so busy, I wasn't making that sacrifice daily, which honestly was a really good sacrifice. And I really appreciate Crystal because she called me up and called me out. And for me now, that looks like a daily practice, which I'm not perfect at, but only the grace of God has enabled me to do. And I'm just like, wow, to get to spend time in scripture with my boys. And then each day is amazing. I get the time to be singing praise songs every day with my kids daily. It's amazing. I'm like, wow, what a gift that I was like completely not making time for because it was just convenient. It wasn't comfortable. I could spend my time doing something I want to do for me. But Jesus makes it clear if you want to come after him, there's denial involved. Denial, there's sacrifice. There's this idea of daily serving him together. Jesus continues to say, for whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. A lot of things Jesus said was like the complete opposite of what you would think, right? Just a complete opposite. He's like, it's better to give than to receive. If you want to live, you need to die. If you don't die, then you won't live. It's just like, the way Jesus would talk is just like, especially for his listeners, then even today, it's just kind of like, really? Like, that's what you're asking us to do? But it's an invitation to this sacrificial living that points to Jesus, points to him, points to God. It said, forever who loses it will actually save it. But whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses it for my sake will save it. One of my favorite just missionaries growing up as a young person in middle school was Jim Elliot, who was a martyr to the Ecuadorian, he was a martyr in Ecuador. And he had this quote that I just love. It says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Jesus had such a perspective on the kingdom of God and ultimately the joy set before him before the cross on the other side that he held on to that more than he held on to things on this planet. And just as a thought, reflective thing, what is your position towards following Jesus? For those who are Christ followers, you call yourself a Christ follower. What is your position when it comes to being living sacrifices to honor God? What does it come to look like? Self-denial in a way that honors God. We can do self-denial in the wrong way, which is like we're just denying everything, but not for the purpose of God. It's just denial. Nor does this text specifically say go chase suffering for suffering. As we follow Jesus, there will be difficulty. As we follow Jesus, there will be suffering, persecution. You look at the early believers, that's a thing. There'll be things where people will reject you verbally or make you want to feel ashamed for following Christ. But Jesus says here that it's actually, like, to be labeled those things is actually a good thing. So it says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of the Father and of his holy angels. That there's something like, you know what, I'm not going to be ashamed of following after Christ. In this country, persecution level is pretty low compared to other countries. They run into difficulties and persecutions and torture and even being killed for their faith. I wanted to look at a little bit further in Luke chapter 23. This is the second passage we'll look at. Luke 23, where it looks at the crucifixion. So Jesus' invitation, take up your cross daily, follow me. But let's look at and be reminded by what Jesus has done for us on the cross and what that looked like for him specifically. So Luke chapter 23, and this is verse 32. Luke 23, verses 32. Give you a chance to turn there. So we're going in here. Jesus was being led, and he was going to be crucified on a cross, and there's two other criminals who are also being crucified with him. So verse 32 says, two others who were criminals who were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, and get this, Jesus is amazing. Jesus is getting crucified, incredibly painful way to die. He's getting crucified, and look what he says while he's being crucified on a cross. Verse 34 says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is Jesus on the cross. Isn't that crazy? On the cross giving forgiveness, right? This isn't like, oh, I've gone through a lot of therapy, got some counseling, and thought about it for a year, and then I'm going to think about forgiving, you know, about the family member. Like, literally, in torture and in death, he's like, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And it says, then they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one, so they're mocking him. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering some sour wine, saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. If you're the real deal, let's see. And why don't you get us off the crosses as well. But the other rebuked him, this is the other criminal, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The forgiveness of Jesus is like totally, you can't even think about it. But the grace of God and mercy of God is literally not even comprehensible. Here's a criminal who he's saying that, hey, him and the other criminal, we've done wrong, and this is what we're due. Death on a cross. Roman crucifixion. This man, though, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And it isn't amazing how awesome God's grace is for us to have new life in Jesus. That one criminal mocked him, but the other one believed in Jesus and who he was. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. He did not have a whole life to try to make things right. He's dying, right? Are you with me? He did not have a time to go to a church or a synagogue at that time or try to help the poor or anything. Literally, God's gift of salvation, of new life, because of what he was about to offer through death on the cross, 3 days later, resurrection, he offered to this criminal. Isn't our God amazing? Right? Sometimes we can set so many standards of what we think people need to do before they come to know Jesus, right? That you need to do this, you need to do this behavior modification, you need to talk this way, look this way, dress this way. And maybe Jesus, where Jesus is like, you're a complete mess, you've done it all wrong, you rebelled against me, I'm here to love you, and you can have a new life today. Isn't that awesome? New life today. That's how generous the grace of God is. That's how powerful his mercy is. And he offered it to one of the criminals, where the other one, though, couldn't receive that, instead mocked Jesus, and is no longer, I'm assuming, with Jesus in paradise. So I want to move on a little bit. So I just want to say this. If the gospel, this is the gospel, Jesus dying for us, being resurrected, we get a new life. If that doesn't excite you for Christ followers, then there's something got to be off in your life. This is like the most exciting thing, that Jesus would die, the God of the universe would die for you, even while you're still a sinner, would love you and give you new life. That needs to excite you. And if it doesn't excite, it'd be good to ask the Lord, God, why don't I get very excited about the greatest gift in the universe? Why am I getting excited with lesser pleasures or lesser things? So when it calls us to talk about sacrifice and this invitation to be like Jesus and take up our cross, when is the last time you sacrificed for someone else? Specifically, taking up your cross is looking at sacrificing on the behalf of others who do not know Christ. Would have been what Jesus did. He literally died for those who did not know him or love him. That would be like Jesus. For those who are on the outside, the outsiders, the outliners, the rebels, those who are literally criminals, those who have done wrong, those who are sinners, the broken. This is who Jesus would die on behalf of. You and me. But as we're pursuing Jesus, we can't let difficulty be the reason why we won't pursue Jesus. I was doing some studying on this this past week, and I was reading a book by an author named Francis Chan. He was mentioning just how the different churches in the country, in the world, how they operate. It's really interesting. In a Chinese church, Francis Chan got to visit. They had a whole party rejoicing and suffering for following Jesus. It was literally like an excitement about having to run because they're being persecuted, being shot at with bullets. And they were having the time to celebrate. Thank you, God, that we can suffer for the name, the one who had died for us. Thank you, Lord. This seems a little bit different, right? And maybe for us in America, we don't normally have gatherings. We're like, man, I'm so glad I was rejected because of following Christ, or shot at this week because of following Christ. And this was interesting. At the end of this gathering of underground church believers in China, they were asking God, please, God, pleading and screaming to God, send us to the most dangerous places, so that we can be Christ to those who don't know Christ. It's a little bit different, right? Normally we pray, God, protect and keep me safe at all costs. Protect my children or family at all costs. Please keep them comfortable, well-provided, nice house, nice car, nice spouse, like, you know, whatever. Not to say it's wrong to pray for those, but if we're only praying in a field of comfort, we will not go to the places that Jesus is wanting us to go to, because there's difficulty there. Francis Chan also got to spend time with Christians in Iran. Get this. In order to join the church in this one underground Iranian church, you would need to agree, sign, to losing your property, being thrown in jail, tortured, and martyred for your faith. That would be the signature on the membership. I guess this is what you have to agree with. What we often refer to as like a lifelong thing of looking to Jesus, they call it prereqs. Like, this is just a starting point. If you don't agree to this, then you can't be part of the church. It seems pretty, like, that seems kind of extreme, but then let's look at what Jesus said. If anyone wants to follow me, right, he must deny himself and take up his cross. Are you with me? So I know it's like a lot heavier message. It's not a comfortable message, but it is a message that Jesus invites us. Lord, will we go anywhere that you invite us to go and not look at the difficulties, the suffering, or anything, but push through? The earlier church, they experienced this. Every New Testament book has to do with pieces of suffering in it. It's not like a hidden new theological perspective. It's actually in every single book of the New Testament. In Acts 5:41, it says, early followers of Christ, it says, they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 4:12-14 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Romans 8:16-18 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Isn't it amazing that we are heirs with Christ? Right? That's incredible. Heirs with Christ. And then get this, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is just early books and letters in the New Testament. I wanted to talk about for a moment being that living sacrifice. Like, what's an example of that could look like? And I recently came across a story of adoption, which I thought really portrayed like the heartbeat of God. So, for some of those, maybe you have adopted before, you've been adopted, and adoption is wonderful. Maybe some of you are feeling called to foster or adopt children both locally or globally. It's a great way to be praying, at least open to that. But that can be sometimes really hard on like the family, though, having someone that maybe wasn't born, has maybe some needs or whatever. But people will do this in a loving way to adopt. It really reflects God. I love the songs we were singing. I didn't tell specifically Diane what I was going to say here, but a lot of the lyrics we're singing had to do with not being an orphan. You guys remember that? Not being an orphan, and we've been adopted in the kingdom of God. And there's a lot that goes with that. A pastor once asked a family who was lovingly adopting children why they adopt even through all the difficulties. And one family said, "We don't think much about how much we'll suffer if we take her in specifically. We think about how much she will suffer if we don't." And I think love has a much bigger picture and saying, how convenient and comfortable can I make this be in my life? An example of this is a mom who I recently watched a video of. I'm not going to show the video. I'm going to share it this week. It's definitely worth watching. This is a popular author and speaker, Lisa Harper, had a video where she shared about her adoption story. Lisa is a single woman who's been wanting to adopt for a while, and just feeling like that's been on my heart, but realizing that having two parents is better than just having one. But she really felt after a while that, you know, Lord, I really feel like you want me to adopt. But she wanted to adopt a child that no one else wanted. She wanted to adopt a child that was sick, that people would not adopt because of all the health problems. And so she let that be known to the adoption agency. She was so blessed and thrilled when she was contacted by an adoption agency in Haiti, letting them know that there was a girl named Missy who was a dying orphan. Missy had HIV, tuberculosis, and cholera, and she was dying. And Missy was so excited, or Lisa was so excited at this possibility of adopting Missy. It took a long time, though. The process took 2 years to adopt Missy. And as she was doing that, there was a point where the child was brought to an orphanage for several months to be in there before she'd be able to adopt fully. I just remember, as Lisa was talking about this, that because of all the different diseases this child had, that when she finally went to go see Missy and go visit her, she went into the orphanage and she's looking all around and trying to find out where her little Missy is. And so she didn't see her with any of the kids. And she was like, where's Missy? Where's Missy? And then she looked in a dark corner of this orphanage and saw Missy, who was well beyond potty trained, in a diaper, curled up in a fetal position in a dark corner by herself. And because of some misunderstanding, the workers there just didn't want to touch her, and she hadn't been held in like 6 months and literally just been in a corner of her room. Because of all the sicknesses, no one wanted to interact and hold her. And so she goes in and just curls her up, just gets her in her arm and hugs her, and she's like, you will always be held now. You will always be loved. And it's just a very powerful story, because I thought, that's exactly what God does with us, right? We can be in a dark place. We can be messy. We can be unwanted by others. And Jesus is like, you are wanted by me. And I thought, wow, Lisa is really reflecting the heartbeat of God to be a living sacrifice for her daughter, Missy. And so that's when she went over to Haiti and got to hold her and just get to be with her. And at the end of this video, it has this just beautiful picture, which I love. I'll just bring it up here. This sign, not an orphan anymore. And then a reference to Ephesians, talking about that we're no longer orphans. Now, what a sacrifice. I think Lisa's being that example of being a living sacrifice, of choosing to sacrifice her convenience, being comfortable for the sake of someone else, that they might know the love of Jesus. And I'm not saying the application to this message needs to be, you need to go adopt someone. But it could be. The Lord might ask you to step out in that way or to start fostering. It could be. But to ask the Lord, God, what would it look like to be a living sacrifice for others this week on a daily basis? And I don't want to assume I know what that looks like. Because it could be look like, maybe like me, I needed to start being more intentional in my family. And Crystal called me out. It's like, hey, here's a call up. Start paying. Then maybe something in your family. You realize I'm not being the sacrificial component like Jesus, like I should be. And I need to start my family. Maybe it's with friends. Maybe you're feeling God spurring in your heart to help resource those in Bahamas in a practical way that's very sacrificial towards you financially over time. I don't know. But I thought, let's just ask God for a moment. Does that sound good? Lord, how can I apply this? Because I know He has specific applications for each one of us that will look different. And let's just have a moment to pray. So if you just want to just bow your head, close your eyes, just ask God for those who want to go deeper in applying this message. Lord, what would it look like to be a living sacrifice for others this week in a way that would reflect You and honor You? So just take a moment to be quiet and listen. Thank You, Lord, for how You can speak to us. God, thank You for being that great example of what it looks like to adopt those that and no one can save but You. God, help us to be that living sacrifice for others. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite up the musicians at this time. That's just wrapping up. I encourage you to invite and ask the Lord, where are You leading me this week? Where are You asking me to go? And I'm hoping that the Lord spoke to some of you with some specific ways to do that. What does it look like daily? I think it's best just to start, it's biblical, like the closest relationships you have. So if you're in a family structure or whatever, start there. How can I sacrificially serve those around me? But then move out. Those I interact with, for college students, maybe it's your roommate, faculty, professor, those in the workplace, those you're working with, your coworkers, people you meet, what might that look like for you? And think of what would it look like to love them like Jesus. For those who don't know Christ, I'm hoping that your heart is being more open to knowing how great God's love is for you. I posted this on Facebook, but I just love celebrating new life that Jesus has given me. On September 5th, 1993, when I was 5 years old, I responded to God's love and gave my life to Jesus 26 years ago, 3 days ago. And it's the best decision I've ever made. But let me tell you, today, I can't just live off a decision I made 26 years ago. Are you with me? That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily. God, I surrender to You when I was five. And problems I got into in my life is when I choose not to surrender to God. And I know some of you, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there too. The times you're like, you know, Lord, in this season, I'm going to do me. I'm going to put You to the side. I'll sacrifice Jesus. I'm just going to live for me. That's where we can go astray. We can recommit, God, today. I want to serve You. But for those who don't know Christ, I encourage you. God loves you so much. He has mercy and grace. Just like that criminal on the cross, that He would pardon all his sins that he literally was dying for on the cross for, invite him to be in heaven and paradise with him forever. He can do that for you today. So I want you to be open to that. If you'd like to go deeper in knowing more about Jesus, I would invite you to come forward when we have a time of prayer. At this time, if you're able to, I invite you to stand. We're going to have a song to declare that Christ is enough, and then we'll have a benediction, and we'll be having our potluck if we're able to stay around. So let's declare that Christ is enough.